This holiday season, experience the charming destination of Ottawa, Illinois. Meander through the Kris Kringle Market, take a stroll downtown, check out the gingerbread displays, and enjoy fun shopping experiences. Plan your stay in Ottawa at visitottawail.com.
Hey, this is John Williams, and you found the Mincing Rascals podcast. Thank you for that. A regular listener to the Rascals will notice that this will sound just a little different than the normal episodes in that there are a couple of pauses along the way where we would normally insert commercials or news breaks for the broadcast version so that we could be economical with our use of time and get everybody out the door. We recorded a shorter version of the Rascals this week, and you're about to hear what would be the broadcast version. So, with a couple of pregnant pauses, we hope you enjoy the pod. Okay, today is Tuesday. It's November 26, 2024, and it's 3:24 in the afternoon. This is a different day and time for the Mincing Rascals podcast because it's Thanksgiving week, and we wanted to get one out of there before everybody goes on holiday. So, hi, and happy Thanksgiving. This is John Williams. You can hear me weekdays on WGN Radio from 10 to 2.
Hey, it's Brandon Pope, host of On the Block, powered by Block Club Chicago on WCIU.
I'm Kate Plies, former Chicago reporter and columnist, now doing the Chicago History website, Roseland, Chicago, 1972.
I'm Eric Zorn, former Tribune columnist, now the editor and publisher of the Picayune Sentinel, powered by Substack. I've always wanted to use that powered by line that Brandon uses, and now I got to. So
it makes your Substack seem even more important, Eric. It's not only
I know, doesn't it?
Written, it's powered by.
It's powered by. That's I like that. I'm adopting that. I'll credit Brandon each time, or maybe I have to pay him a nickel every time I use it.
I'll take a nickel.
You're not just sucking up to the Substack people.
Yeah, Substack's been good.
Well, you might just go ahead and push out then even harder that piece you wrote in your Substack, Picayune Sentinel, about the shopping cart theory, because I got so many text messages about that today, outraged, many of them, at what you were talking about on our radio show. I wanted to open our podcast today just talking a little bit about Thanksgiving. But
let's talk about rage instead.
But humor me for a minute. Do you guys know what this thing is?
I'll briefly summarize. Basically, it says that you can tell whether a person is a good person or a bad person by whether they return their shopping cart in the parking lot of the grocery store. Like when you finish unloading your cart into your car, do you take the cart back to the corral or do you just leave it there for the store employee to come and
wrangle? Well, I feel like most people take it to the actual corral, right?
Take it back to wherever it's supposed to go. But you'll see those carts just out there in Neverland. And who are those people? They're the bad people. What's the old saying about something is what you do when people are looking? Character is what you do when people aren't looking.
Right. There's no penalty. It's not illegal to leave your shopping cart there. It's not even necessarily objectively wrong. It's just the courteous thing to do to take the cart and put it back in the corral. And you do that, and there's no benefit for you in it at all. And do you do something that has no benefit for you in it, basically?
Yeah.
How did the response break down among
people? Well, a lot of it was then when Eric and I spoke about this on the radio this week, I told him that I thought where he was going was you're taking your cart out to your car, and you realize there's a 12-pack of Diet Coke underneath, and you forgot to pay for it. Now what do you do? Do you go all the way back and have them ring it up? Or do you say, you know what, I checked myself out. They've already budgeted shrinkage. And what does Jeff Bezos need more money for? So I'm just going to take this as an honest-to-goodness mistake, and I don't feel guilty about it. That's what got people going, Eric, because some people go, yeah, been there. And Eric said there was a threshold. Like, if it's a Snicker bar, don't worry about it. But if it's a 12-pack of bourbon, I believe is how he put it, which proves that Eric doesn't buy a lot of bourbon, then you have to go back.
Or I buy it by the box. You never know. No, I mean, obviously, you know, if you find a pack of gum or something like that that fell in between the, you know, the bags or something, you don't go back for that.
Oh, that's Eric, crazy. Yes, you do. Theft is theft.
Is it theft if it's an honest mistake like that? I mean, it's a decent question.
I submit this to the jury of Kate and Brandon.
Well, I would feel a little bit guilty about the like 12-pack of Diet Dr. Pepper, which could totally happen to me. I'd feel a little bit guilty, but I would absolutely not go back in to pay for it. Not in a million years. At the same time, I do always return the shopping cart to the corral while, and I don't know if this disqualifies my getting any kind of ethics points out of it, because sometimes I will think to myself as I'm doing it, I'm probably on camera because they got cameras everywhere. And everyone in this parking lot can see what a good citizen I am.
Or what a bad person you are if you don't do it.
Or exactly. So yes. I sometimes am filled with self-satisfaction, and I think about that that Seinfeld episode where he gives the bad advice to the Pakistani restaurant owner across the street about what to do with his restaurant, but the Pakistani restaurant owner always thanks him and tells him he's great. And he always thinks to himself, yes, I am. I'm a very good person.
Marge just clicked in. We'll catch you up in a second, Marge. Brandon, where are you on this?
Well, on the shopping cart controversy, I mean, anyone that doesn't return their shopping cart, you're putting potential people's other cars at risk of damage and everything. You're like the worst possible person to me. So there's no However, on the leg A, and there's a little, you know, a stick of gum, some M&Ms, a water bottle. I mean, look, have I taken some things home before in the self-checkout? Let's be honest, who hasn't? It's okay. Yeah. It's okay, especially if it's like Amazon, Whole Foods, or something. Like, you gotta, it's like Robin Hood, you know? You gotta do what you gotta do.
Now, you're talking about accidentally, right, Brandon? You're not talking about...
Accidental okay. slippage, you know, never on purpose. Come on.
But I do think about the guy that owns, the billionaire that owns the company, and I'm thinking... I've already worked hard enough for you. I checked myself out. And Marge, we were talking about something Eric posted in his Substack on the Picayune Sentinel.
I make sure I put it somewhere safely, usually in the corral.
There's a qualification.
But sometimes you could move it to the end of the parking spot where it won't be in anybody's way. Like if it's raining, I might do that. But I almost always do take it to the corral.
There we go. And the other question John was asking is, what happens if you get out to your car and you realize that there underneath the cart, you found that there's a 12-pack of Diet Dr. Pepper or something that didn't get rung up? Do you go back into the store and pay for it?
Or it's an honest mistake.
And it's an honest mistake, totally honest mistake. I was telling John this morning, a friend of mine had walked out of Whole Foods. She checked out, but she had forgotten to scan this $20 container of nuts. And she realized when she got home... And rather than go back to the store, she just took – when next time she went to the store, she took $20. But instead of giving it to Jeff Bezos, she gave it to an immigrant mother and child who were outside the store asking for money, and figured that, well, that the scales of the universe had balanced.
I think we should all do that.
I kind of like that solution. I live very near my grocery store, and I usually walk. So I don't use the bottom of the cart too much. I buy a few things at a time. But it's true that I've gone through the self-checkout and then grab my bag and then realize there's like a piece of ginger still sitting there and I didn't see it, you know. I'll throw that in the bag. It's probably 80 cents worth of ginger or something, you know. Big things you don't usually miss when you're doing the self-checkout. Years ago, I went to an ATM on the northwest side. And I asked for, I think, like $250 cash. And it just went wham, 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 wham. And all this money comes out. And I'm like, whoa. What is this? And it was $500.
Nice.
It doubled. My daughter was with me. I think I'd have done this even if I didn't have a kid with me. But I went back in, except it was before 9 o'clock and the bank was open and they didn't want to open the door for me. And I'm like waving this money. Clearly the machine was broken. It was going to give everybody double dollars until they stopped it. And finally somebody comes to the door and I tell him, and he goes, okay, thanks. And he takes the extra money and he didn't care.
Put it in his pocket.
Probably. Yeah. It was worth the effort. But, you know, that was extreme. And I wasn't going to keep money from the bank.
Well, you would have been on film for that. They would have come after you for that.
That's what's keeping Kate honest.
Okay. Here's a hard one. Here's a hard one. You're at the checkout and you've got, say, some sweet onions. And the checker says to you, as they're about to weigh them and punch in the right number, are those organic? You admit they're organic?
All of my apples are not organic.
They're not. Right.
No,
sure.
I am not playing that game.
You got me. I have never put any organic.
Busted. And sometimes I don't even know. But I'm going. If you think I'm going to give you extra for your stupid apples, we need to pause here. This is the Ethically Challenged Mincing Rascals podcast. As we now pass judgment on Brandon Johnson and Donald Trump and Kim Fox. After this. Back with the Mincing Rascals, I'm John Williams. We're joined by Marge Halperin. Marge, go ahead and slate yourself, as we say in the industry. Who the heck are you?
I am a communications consultant, who also former journalist, commentator. You'll see me sometimes as sometimes Tribune local papers, as well as on CTV in Canada, doing what I can to challenge authority.
We're joined by the aforementioned Kate Plies, Brandon Pope, Eric Zorn. I'm John Williams. Let's talk a little bit about Mayor Brandon Johnson's week.
Well, his former communications director was fired because of alleged abuse in the office, emotional abuse, and sexual harassment and using ethnic slurs and so on. And this guy, Ronnie Reese, had been pulled over from the CTU, or he was a deputy spokesman there, and he was in charge of the mayor's communications team. And it goes a little ways to explaining some of why Johnson's first year and a half or so has been so rocky, is that his communication and his instincts for getting his programs put into place have been so bad, and maybe this explains some of that, and maybe there's a course correction coming. Although Reese has been out for a while, and I haven't really seen Johnson course correcting the way I might have thought he would. But it was very telling that what the stuff that came out in the Tribune story that posted this morning.
It's another one of those items where if they had just done a Google search like Ronnie Reese, sexual harassment or whatever the buzzwords were, that might have come up, but they just don't seem to be very good on the vetting end.
They're personal friends.
They were good friends.
Ronnie Reese did his successful mayoral campaign as well.
Yeah, but that doesn't change the fact. I mean, if your best friend, you want to do him a solid, but in the meantime, you're not doing anybody favors if the person has to resign.
Well, in fact, your best friend should put you in that kind of position.
Yeah, something you could have told me yesterday.
Yeah, I thought you were my friend. Why did you undermine my administration like that? I mean, I think the outrage, and yet that's not what happened, because the Tribune reports that he was there for months after the initial HR reports were given to the chief of staff, who should have acted quickly. So the friendship is apparently kind of one-sided.
I just think that there's a peak inside the mayor's operation here. And it underscores this problem we have, which is that the mayor is too close to the Chicago Teachers Union, which funded his campaign. He seems to be very close with Stacey Davis Gates, the president of that union. Just this week, we saw a letter from the Board of Education, the new trustees that the mayor had appointed. It was to Pedro Martinez, the head of the board, the CEO of public schools, and saying that they wanted him to resolve the strike expeditiously. It was very important to get it done soon, which is similar to the letter that the Chicago Teachers Union sent to Martinez. Basically, the message seemed to be, look, give us what we want, because we want to get this done before Trump takes office. And both the message from both the CTU and the trustees seem to be the same, which is hurry up, get this done. And I don't, as a taxpayer, a citizen of Chicago, I don't want that to happen. I want them to have some serious negotiations and figure out a reasonable contract. I don't want them to say, okay, well, CTU wants it done quickly, so let's do it quickly.
You say this all goes back to him being too close to the CTU, but what if we take a little like 20,000 foot view and say, actually, this all goes back to the fact that he's a lousy manager, not prepared to govern, which is increasingly what I see as his overarching problem.
But you know, Kate or Marge, I was thinking about this the other day, too. The fact that he can't seem to resolve this budget situation makes him look like inept or a bad guy. And I don't know if he were a popular or or competent or good guy if the numbers would be any different, right? Like you've got a shortfall. Nobody wants property taxes to be increased. The liquor distributors don't want an alcohol increase. Benny's is upset about that. So I'm just wondering, if you're the guy trying to fix it, you're going to be buying some trouble. I don't have a lot of sympathy for his communication snafus and all these other silly things, but I do sympathize with a guy who's like, you can imagine him going, okay, what am I going to do? How are we going to do this?
Inept and bad are not the same thing. I think he's a good guy who's inept. You
know? Fair enough. But
so don't you know, cast aspersions on his character just because he's managing badly. But I do think he's managing badly. I think it was Kate who said in one of the prior shows, maybe one of the ones while I was on vacation, where like, how do you not check with your aldermanic allies first, at least your allies, if not all of the council members, to see how the budget's going to go over and what it is they want to see in it and what they're willing to vote for. He just knows nothing about counting votes, apparently. You know, the basic steps. Yeah, he's saddled like every other big city or municipality in the country with having to fill the gap for the COVID funds that are drying up. And he went about it in a way that was not destined for success.
Brandon, you'd probably agree with that, right? He'd get somebody else to help carry the water for him if he was just a better manager, right?
I can definitely agree that there could be better management. I'm not sure he's inept. I think he's got skills. I think he's an intelligent guy. I just do think that some of the decisions he's made have been maybe not the best, obviously with the hiring people. I mean, some of the people he's had not going over too well. So you got some growing pains, but they're playing out publicly. This is not a position where you really want to have growing pains. It's a tough place to be. And I'm with you, John. I have sympathy in the sense of like, this is not any problem he's created, this budget mess we're in. There is no perfect solution that everyone's going to be happy with. He's offered to cut back on police reform, something that is against his progressive vision. And he's getting pushback for that, right? He's offered to cut back or raise property tax. People don't like that one, even though the increase wouldn't really be that bad for most people. Maybe an extra $100 here or there. But at the end of the day, something's got to get done. So he's going to have to take on some bad press, as you say, to get this done.
Yeah. Just last week, we learned that he had to cut back on this idea of doing a pilot program to shovel sidewalks.
Yeah, right, but, right.
Which I was one of his.
And I think the city should do that. I think the city should be shoveling the sidewalks. I think I'm an outlier on that. But I think in the neighborhoods throughout the city, I think the city should be shoveling the sidewalks.
Yeah, what was telling to me about that was the price tag for the pilot program was only $1 million.
Yeah,
right. $1 million. I mean, that sounds like a lot to us here, but $1 million is just basically a rounding error in the city budget. But he's looking for every possible place to trim. Then he got this news also last week that this proposal in Springfield to, I think it was triple the tax on single-use cell phones. I forget exactly what it was, but it had to do with cell phones, not the kind you own all the time, but the kind you know, the burner phones and so on. And that got shot down for some kind of technical reasons or something, but it blew another huge hole in the budget. Like they were planning on, what was it, like something like $50 million? Is that in that neighborhood?
Mm-hmm.
And suddenly, so he's facing a $350 million budget hole. And I'm thinking, I kept thinking that, I mean, like I say, I'm critical of the mayor and the way he's handled things. I think his heart's in the right place. I think I agree with Brandon. I think he's a smart man. I don't think that he doesn't know politics that well. He knows activism. He doesn't know politics that well. And so suddenly he's got this huge budget gap and nobody wants to pay more. You know, the streaming services, nobody who subscribes to Netflix wants to pay more. No one who buys liquor in quantities that John Williams buys it wants to pay 35%.
Afford it.
Yes, to break them. I don't know who wants that job, but people are lining up already.
Let's pause for a second here. We'll come back in a minute. This is the Mincing Rascals on WGN. This is the Mincing Rascals. Thanks for dialing us in. Here's a question for Marge and Kate, Brandon and Eric. What do Matt Gaetz, Jussie Smollett, and George Santos all have in common?
They got what they deserved.
I'm cheating.
They're all going to be on Cameo. They're all going to be on Cameo. You can now get a Matt Gaetz cameo made for your friends. Hey, I'm Matt Gaetz. Happy birthday, Eric. You know, I hear that you're doing a great job over, you know, some funny joke. Ha, ha, ha. And then Matt Gaetz will get paid money, and the Chicago-based cameo company will get a cut of that. And I lose my mind every time something like this happens. It was my rant when Santos was able to cash in and Cameo was able to cash in on his corruption. Smollett is the same way. And now Matt Gaetz is going to be on Cameo.
And don't forget Governor Blagojevich.
And Blago was the one that I think first reminded me that, oh, there's money to be made by being bad.
I saw that Lauren Boebert is doing this, but she's in office. So there's questions about whether it's illegal for her to be trading on her official role, basically. So she gets $250 for a cameo, offering advice was what the generic thing was. And I think it was Mark Elias, somebody on the socials is saying this needs to be investigated. She's making money off her official position, which is illegal.
Yeah.
Whether anything will be done about that in the coming administration.
Is it really? I mean, these politicians get paid for speeches and what's the difference exactly? Books, speeches? Yeah, I doubt there's a law preventing her from making videos and getting paid for them, but I could be wrong.
I don't know.
Yeah, the question was unless raised, the yeah. Cameo people are, you know, having her, you know, address things that she should be doing for free for her constituents. But, you know, so like, let's not let the aldermen, you know, go on there and do cameos about potholes or that need to be filled on people's blocks or anything like that. But I hate to say it, Eric's probably right that I bet it's no different than getting an honorarium for a speech. It is horrific, but I can't get quite as outraged as you, John, because capitalism, we see so much crass money making, and I kind of feel like these people are embarrassing themselves. I mean, and we know that Rob Blagojevich especially cannot really feel embarrassment. That's impossible.
I don't think that may be the common thread among these three.
But the others really in what they're doing are not helping their public images. Not really.
I want Alderman Solis, former Alderman Solis, to join Cameo.
Is he a bad guy?
That would
Solis turned state's evidence, the alderman who turned on Mike Madigan.
They busted him. That's the reason he turned on Madigan is they busted him. They had the goods on him, and he agreed to wear a wire. And I mean, it's if you've been following these stories out of his testimony about the mistress in Asia and the money on the bed and the Viagra and the massages with happy endings. I mean, it's all cameo material as far as I'm concerned.
He really doesn't deserve a cent. I mean, I have to say this one more time. He worked out a deal that allows him to keep his city pension, and that's insane.
Solis, you're talking about there?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. And Brandon, you were saying what about Smollett?
Would be a Jussie Smollett cameo would be hilarious, though. I could see that being a great prank gift for a friend. That's a funny, obscure story that breaks across Chicago, goes national. You have Jussie Smollett saying happy birthday to you. It's gonna get some laughs.
Okay, but think about that. You, citizen, are going to give Jussie Smollett money. That's the transaction. And Cameo's going to keep some of it. I'm mad at Cameo for being the platform. But I mean, but you think the laugh would be worth the money to you. You would take money out of your pocket, hard-earned, and you would give it to Jussie Smollett. See, I can't do that. I can't get my head around that.
I'm not saying I would do it, but I do think that people like Jussie Smollett, to me, are not that egregiously bad for what they did. I mean, it was wrong, but he didn't kill anybody. So, I think there's levels to it versus a Matt Gaetz who's a sexual predator. Like, I think there's different levels here. And Smollett, to me, is more of a, ha-ha, he should be embarrassed. And with him at the situation.
He's more of a doofus or a schnook than he is an actual criminal in terms of how he's regarded, but yeah, I can see it. I can definitely see it.
You know, I was thinking, too, I think it was Marge or one of you mentioned whether or not Lauren Boebert should be eligible, or maybe that's something that should be investigated. And I couldn't help but think, in an age when Donald Trump is no longer going to be prosecuted for trying to steal the election, Lauren Boebert's not going to get prosecuted or investigated either. What was the reaction from the panel here when the special investigator asked a judge to throw the case out?
Well, he still could be prosecuted, but not while in office. They did it without prejudice. It means they can bring the charges back against him in four more years.
I'm aware
of that.
How potent
will they be then? I don't know. There was no other way. He was going to go to jail or the White House. That was pretty clearly his future prospects.
And what do you
the
think
voters
about
chose the White House?
Let me ask you this, though. This is the question I asked an attorney today. I wonder what's more important, the will of the people getting the president they want in office, or treating a politician like everybody else and throwing him in jail or prosecuting him, maybe finding him guilty. Who knows what the circumstances would be then? But what's a higher priority for us as a nation? The man we want in the office unencumbered, or, hey, he tried to throw the election, or, hey, he did something against the law. We need to prosecute him. What's more important?
The real problem here is that he and his loyalists who were still in the Justice Department after he left, slow walked, combined with, you know, Eileen Cannon, who was a judge he appointed. He and his supporters slow walked the whole process. That's why he wasn't already, why it didn't already come to completion, and he wasn't already sentenced, because he had people who wouldn't give up the documents in the Justice Department. That's why Smith had to appoint
But here we are.
To me, to answer your question, nobody's above the law, and he should have been fully prosecuted, but there were people in place to slow it down enough, so he escaped for now. And frankly, that's his whole life, right? He's been a grifter all his life. He's been taking lawsuits against people he didn't want to pay who did work for him, and if anyone threatened him, he would drag it out. He got out of some of the Trump University business because Pam Bondi, AG in Florida, dropped the charges, and then he gave her $25,000 in a campaign contribution. This is how he operates. That is who was chosen, but only by the Electoral College. He didn't win the popular vote. It's not the will of the people. The people didn't overwhelmingly vote for him.
Oh, well, 49.5% of the voters did. Less than half of the people voted for Trump that voted. But I think this is part and parcel with that. Let's pick it up here in just a minute. This is the Mincing Rascals. Eric, you were about to say something, and Marge was just saying that it's not the will of the people. Marge, am I misquoting you? You're saying that I wonder what the if we had another vote on should Donald Trump serve in the White House or should he be fully prosecuted, I wonder what we would get. And I think we would probably get the same results we got in November, right? The people want him to be president. They don't want him to be, I think as I put it, encumbered by a dragged out prosecution or put in jail for that matter.
The majority of people did not choose him to be president, and it was in a system that was badly played with various voter suppression things and all kinds of court cases, some of which were not played out in time for this election. This is hardly a mandate for this president. He won the election. I'm not going to be an election denier here. He won, but he didn't. This was not in any way something I would interpret as saying he didn't deserve to be prosecuted the crime that he was charged
with. Brandon, you're not in your head, but I think you guys are still missing my point. It almost doesn't matter if we like him or not, or how close it was or wasn't. The point is, you don't. It's the custom of the Justice Department to not prosecute a president or a president-elect.
You can't say that people chose not to have him prosecuted. That wasn't on the ballot. I think that's my point.
Brandon, what were you going to say?
I think for some it may have been, Mars. I mean, I think elections have consequences. This is one of the consequences of it. This was a, like you said, this was a Donald Trump's get out of jail free card. He earned it. He won it.
Don't you agree, Brandon? The people voting for him also knew this is how it was going to play out. They're not surprised. So. They're not disappointed in this result.
I'm not surprised either because of just how the Justice Department works. And ultimately, is it unfortunate? Does it set an unfortunate precedent for future elected leaders? Absolutely. I'm concerned gravely about, could we have another January 6th? Are we basically saying it's okay to incite people to attack the Capitol and threaten lawmakers? That's what I'm worried about, is the future implications of this. But ultimately, I think it also points to how jaded the criminal justice system really is, that we're giving so much immunity to someone because they have the highest position in the land. Might be the wrong guy to give that to.
Well, it certainly is the wrong guy to give it to. I want to say that I think Attorney General Merrick Garland, Joe Biden's Attorney General, has a lot to answer for here. It's been almost 4 years since January 6th. Everything seemed to get slow walked, and justice delayed here is clearly justice denied. I do think that it's the right decision for the Justice Department not to prosecute a sitting president. The president of the United States is the most powerful person in the world. And I don't think, whether you're Democrat, Republican, whether you're, you know, no matter who you are, to think of what precedent that might send, to have the president of the United States in court, legal battles and so on, would be a bad idea. And I think that Jack Smith probably made the decision like, well, I'm going to let this case go without prejudice. Was that prejudice? Without, whatever it is. They kept it alive. Now, I don't know what the statute of limitations is on these offenses.
Dude ain't going to jail in 4 years.
Yeah.
Well, probably not. But he may be tried in 4 years. But my guess is that he will just pardon himself on the way out the door. Why wouldn't he? I mean,
there's that.
I totally get why you're outraged and many other people are. It drove me crazy for the last 4 years watching all this slow motion legal stuff, going, wait, are they going to get this done in time so he can't run for office? Wait, are they going to get this done in time so he can't serve if he gets elected? It was absolutely mind-bending the past 4 years. But, you know, within the past 6 months, certainly I came to accept that if he won, that these cases were not going to get done in time and keep him out of office. So I'm like, I'm over that aspect of it. But It was absolutely infuriating because, yeah, Merrick Garland waited 2 years just to appoint the special prosecutor. So, I mean, of course it happened this way. The prosecutor down in Georgia should have just stepped aside when those questions came up about whether or not she should still be in charge of the prosecution because of going on vacations with her boyfriend. She should have just stepped aside and let it go on without her. But no. She didn't. In fact, she's still hanging in there. So now he's already elected president again, and that case never got finished. So I'm kind of, although it doesn't sound like it, I did for a while there get done being mad about that. And the way I look at it is that, you know, the reason for not prosecuting a sitting president, for putting a sitting president in jail, is a good one, because it can be used as a way to persecute somebody who we would not want to see put in jail. So I put it in the same category of beyond a reasonable doubt. Guilty people get off. We've set the justice system up that way in order to not hopefully put innocent people in jail, and we accept that.
In that sense, I
accept, you know, that it's good to not prosecute and put in jail sitting presidents.
Shortly after Donald Trump left office and he had all of those boxes at Mar-a-Lago in that storage room, and there was the toilet over there or whatever that was, and that just seemed to be such an open and shut case, right? Those are the documents. He's not supposed to have them. You could do that, and they couldn't. And that one is also going to evaporate here. But I just think, as a principle, I'm interested to hear, and I'm glad to hear what you all have said about, should we prosecute a sitting president or somebody who's about to become the president? Would there have been jail time had he been found guilty of some of these charges?
I think so. I think, you know, 400 other people involved in January 6th went to jail, more than 400. Now, I raise this question: what if he follows through and has promised to pardon them?
Yeah, well, all 1,500 people who are charged, do you think, two-thirds of whom have been prosecuted or found guilty, there's still a few hundred that are out there. But it would be funny to see him get away with it and the rest of them, the vast majority of them, say, I appreciate your efforts there, gang, but I can't pardon everybody. I haven't heard him comment per se on whether or not he's going to do some sort of mass pardon.
What does he have to lose at this point? He can do whatever he wants. He doesn't care about, he doesn't need political donations. He doesn't need to be reelected.
Yep.
I can see him just saying he's going to do whatever heck he feels like, and it may just be he'll pardon everybody and say, well, okay, so you don't like it, America? Stuff it. That's I think it's going to be a lot of way he governs. He has no real need to kowtow to anybody or to make sure that constituencies are satisfied. He can do whatever he wants, pretty much.
Before we wrap it up, guys, I said that this is our Thanksgiving broadcast. We're dropping it on a Tuesday because we're all going to be heading to the hills on Wednesday and Thursday. And I wanted to just ask you guys a Thanksgiving-ish question, if I may. Thanksgiving memories and things that you're thankful for. I was asked that by a colleague here at the radio station, and I said my two granddaughters, which seems almost too easy or not all that creative, but we've got a 1-year-old granddaughter and a 4-year-old granddaughter. They wear us the hell out. Having babies is best left to the young, but when they are in the house, it's so much fun. I forgot how quickly children develop and how quickly they pick up motor skills and language skills, and every little nuance of that is just so much fun. And then we just hand them back to my son and daughter-in-law and they leave. And then Brenda and I have wine, and we reclaim the castle. But while they are in our world, they are so much fun. And that's one thing I'm especially thankful for this Thanksgiving, because this will be little Jane's first Thanksgiving with us. She's not a year old yet. How about you, Brenda? What makes you smile? What are you thankful for this season?
I am thankful for community. I think now more than ever, community is what keeps us strong, keeps us warm. Keeps us sane. And I think a lot of us are going to need to lean heavier on community because we're facing a lot of tough things right now. So I'm all about community. I'm thankful for it. I'm grateful for it. Eternal gratitude.
People around you. How about you, Eric Zorn?
You guys are very earnest, you know.
Oh, well, I'll throw in the DePaul Blue Demons. I was just thinking, but you know what's really making me happy these days?
They're undefeated.
You're undefeated DePaul Blue Demons. I love me some college basketball. Butler's actually going to have a better season than they had last year. I'm very thankful for college basketball. Here, did I bring the level down for you, Eric?
Yeah, you brought it down. I'm going to bring it down much further. I am thankful for dryer balls, step-in shoes, GPS, adaptive cruise control. I like no-lick forever stamps, Wi-Fi, clip-on instrument tuners, AirPods, things like that. That's what I'm thankful for. Mm-hmm. Other thing, you know, family, community.
But people aren't important to you. Okay, that's good. How about you, Kate? What are you thankful for this holiday season?
I am thankful that I am getting together with family members where nobody is going to cancel anybody or not show up because of how somebody else might have voted, which I do think is actually super, super important, having been in a family where I have in older generations seen what real family estrangement looks like. I've been on the receiving end of some family estrangement. I have a little bit going on right now with some other family members. So you could say I'm a hypocrite for saying that people should not be, sorry about that. I'm sure that's an Amazon person ringing my doorbell. if you guys could hear that, sorry about that. So maybe I'm being a little bit of a hypocrite saying people should not.
You're having a silo giving, it sounds like.
You know, having a big one, definitely.
Yeah, but you're all of like mind on the major issue of the day.
There might be one or two who may have voted for Trump, but nobody is going to be bringing it up or not showing up because of it. I mean, I know I told my kids in 2016 when this first became a real thing, I put my foot down. I said, nobody is talking about this. And I had a couple of, you know, millennials who were going a little out of control, you know, maybe going to make everybody talk about what they had, who they had voted for. I was like, no, we're not talking about it. You're not going to bring it up a single time. And we are keeping that. And I think that's the way to go. I think it's a question of what people are like in your life. But the people who gave birth to you and supported you and helped you out in innumerable ways as your family for years and years. I think you just need to move on and not talk to them about that on Thanksgiving and Christmas.
Yeah.
Because when that alienation sets in, you'll be sorry. Because you know what? You know, Kamala Harris is not going to show up and babysit for your kids when you're sick. And Rachel Maddow is not going to help pay for their college.
But Black Friday, it's game on. We're not kidding each other. We know who's who, and those conversations inevitably pop up. But you all can declare a truce, knowing how divided you may be, and actually enjoy each other's company on Thanksgiving
Day. Keep it separate. Yeah. Keep it separate. That's
I think it's a uniquely white American problem.
This is a uniquely white American problem. Why do you say that?
Black Thanksgiving tables, we all pretty locked in. We in unison. One thing bad, other thing not. That's kind of how we all pretty much
are. Wait a minute. Are you saying that it's more rambunctious? It's a free-for-all, or no, everybody is on the same page?
I think I'd say everyone's on the same page, and because of it, no one's even bringing up politics, because we all pretty much agree. We may have little nuances here and there, but everyone's pretty much in unison on how they feel in this moment.
Got it. Family, community, forever stamps that don't require a licking, the various things that the mincing rascals are thankful for this holiday season.
Hey, what about Marge? You forgot Marge.
Oh, I was just thinking, but I don't remember what Marge said. Marge, moi, I love you. What is your, what are you thankful for?
I think I'm going to bring it back to the earnestness, Eric, because it's made me think of when my daughter was probably in high school, my older daughter, she said randomly, "So did this turn out the way you thought it would?" I'm like, "What?" She said, "Life. Is this what you expected?" And my answer was, "It's way better than I ever imagined. I'm happy to be here with a wonderful family and friends and good health, none of which was guaranteed to me in earlier years in my life. So I'm grateful for the opportunity to do what I can to make the world a better place, to take Austin's line, and also to be with my loving family."
What a lovely thing for her to ask you. That's so thoughtful.
Almost as good as dryer balls that you don't have to use the fabric sheets.
Not as good as forever stamps you don't have to lick, but it is better than dryer balls.
I'm so glad you got that question.
I'm thankful that Eric's going to be sad this weekend.
Here comes the Michigan game.
The Wolverines are going to lose again, finally, to my Buckeyes.
I want you to put this, he said again, finally, because Michigan has won three in a row in that rivalry. It's finally a rivalry again. I think even Brandon can be glad that it's a rivalry, and it's going to feel good to beat Michigan rather than just routine.
You guys are blowing up my Thanksgiving table here. I was trying to have a nice, sweet send-off, and now we're arguing about the Michigan-Ohio State game. So on that, we're going to wrap it up. A shorter version of the Rascals this week, but it's good that we were able to get it in and see and hear everybody. Kate, Marge, Brandon, and Eric. Austin couldn't be with us this time, but he's a regular part of the panel, too. We're produced by Ben Anderson and Pete Zimmerman, and I'm John Williams. Have a happy Thanksgiving, and we'll drop another pod on you next Wednesday. Okay,
is anybody traveling this weekend?
I got folks traveling in tomorrow, and that's why I got to scram out of Dodge. How about you? Are you on the road?
I'm flying to New Jersey. My kid's got a house out there. We're going to spend Thanksgiving there.
That's great.
Everybody else?
No, I'm not thrilled about it. Flying on Thanksgiving. But, it'd be great to see him, but.
I just got back from Columbus last night, Brandon.
Columbus?
Yeah. Lumber I have relatives there. We had a family memorial there this weekend, so we're not actually having Thanksgiving.
You've already seen everybody, huh? Brandon, you going out to Ohio yourself?
I am. I'll be in the great city of Cincinnati, Ohio, and enjoying some good food. I'm making mac and cheese this year, mac and cheese duty.
That was a big deal for you last year, I know. They turned you for that.
People love me for it. So, I got to keep the good times rolling, keep the fans happy.
Okay. Do you have a special recipe for mac and cheese?
I do, but I can't share it.
Kate, are you on the road?
I can send you my friend Monica's mac and cheese recipe. She just sent it to me, and she's amazing. So I'll send it to you, Eric.
Thank you.
I'll tell you this. Mustard, ground mustard is crucial. Seasoning the pasta when you boil it is crucial. And then also some cumin.
Ground mustard. That sounds intriguing. Nice.
You can see he felt a little, he didn't like getting someone else's recipe getting touted there, right? Just a little bit there.
All right. Some breadcrumbs.
This bonus track is over. I'm hanging up on you, kids.
All right. See you guys. Everybody have Thanksgiving.
Have a good holiday. You bet. Bye now.
Thanksgiving, y'all.
Bye. Yeah.
Subscribe. subscribe to the Mincing Rascals podcast on iTunes or the Google Play Music Store. You can now also follow us on Spotify, or you can keep listening online at WGNRadio.com.